This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
He's on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. He has renewed his subscription to HBO because he's going to need it for his gig. He's Nate Ulrich, covers the Browns for the Akron Beacon Journal and Ohio.com. Actually, Akron's not in the title of the paper anymore, is it, Nate?
It is.
Oh, it is. Okay, good.
Yeah. Well, Jeff, say it. You were?
I was incorrect.
You were wrong.
Okay, well, we'll go with that, too.
Okay.
Nate, Hard Knocks. Good, bad, indifferent? What do you think?
I think it could be good or bad. I think it's to be determined. I think it depends how they handle it. Baker Mayfield, actually, I'll give him credit. He said it, I think, just about as well as anybody could say it yesterday. And that's it. It can be good if you handle it right, you know. So it can also be a distraction. You know, the thing I keep going back to is, you know, Mike Pettine, when he was here, whatever you thought of him during his time as a coach, you know, I think that he really kind of told it like it is. And I remember talking to him about Hard Knocks because he was on it in 2010 as the defensive coordinator of the New York Jets when Rex Ryan was the head coach. I mean, what a cast, right? And, you know, Pettine said that when you're on Hard Knocks, it's difficult to be yourself because you're always kind of looking over your shoulder knowing you're on camera. And that can be a distraction because even if you're thinking about something else other than your job for a second, that's not good. That he viewed that as a negative. And he said that there are some guys who can handle it well, and then there are other guys who don't handle it well, and they act different, and they play to the camera, and that's just, you know, not a great thing for the team. So they're two sides of it.
When I look at it, if I'm Hugh Jackson, if Hugh Jackson does it right, I think it can significantly help him. It could show him in a different light than I think Browns fans. Yeah, like he said, he doesn't have a whole lot of street cred right now, and so this might actually give him the opportunity to have the street cred that maybe we're not seeing, the same things that Jimmy Haslam sees that says, you know what, we got to bring back this coach. I know we've only won one game in 2 years, but we've got to bring him back. I would see this as a PR win. I hope he doesn't mess it up, but I do think this is a PR win for Hugh.
Again, I mean, that's something that I think can be polarizing because either he can come off really well and we could see like the stuff Joe Thomas talks about. I mean, Joe Thomas wrote a column, right, for Sports Illustrated or Monday Morning Quarterback, saying that the Browns made the right decision to keep Hugh Jackson despite 1-31. And these are all the reasons. And a lot of it had to do with, you know, Hugh's just a great motivator and, you know, a guy who behind the scenes, you know, gets the most out of players. And, you know, despite 1-31, he really held the team together because of his way to, because of his, you know, knack for, you know, dealing with players and the right way and all that. So if that comes across, on the show, I think he can, you know, basically change the minds, of some Browns fans who basically, you know, think that he, you know, isn't worth anything as a coach, but of course he has to back that up with some winning too. On the other hand, though, there are so many fans who look at the 1-31 and are so down on Hugh that I could see them kind of picking apart everything he says in the show or saying, you know, he's not good in the meetings or whatever like that. But I think that the Browns are confident that he will be, and they kind of just they want everyone to see how hard they're working to turn this thing around, and they think that they'll be able to get that across on Hard Knocks.
Nate, you think they campaigned for this, or do you think they just were told you guys are doing this?
No, I don't. I definitely don't think they campaigned for it. John Dorsey's on the record this year saying he doesn't see anything good coming from Hard Knocks about a month ago, and Hugh Jackson last year at the Senior Bowl said he had no interest in it and was just trying to get the team better. and coach the teams. So, you know, there you go. I mean, two prominent figures right there at the top, you know, just under ownership, saying that, you know, they're really not all about Hard Knocks. But obviously the Browns are one of the six teams who are not exempt from appearing on the show. The NFL wants all the teams to be on this show. You know, and I think that, you know, this is the 13th season. Everybody's going to get a turn eventually. I think if the league has its way, it's kind of like going to London. It's a rite of passage. You know, the Browns did that last year. Here we go with Hard Knocks this year. You know, the Browns ultimately, they say they agreed to it. You know, and I believe that, you know, because they hadn't agreed to it in years past. They have been asked before, and this was the year that they finally agreed to it. So, yeah, was there some arm twisting to get them to agree by the league? Sure. I mean, we've seen this dance for a few years now, but ultimately they signed up for it.
As far as just where we are in the offseason right now, where do you think the Browns still have holes where they didn't fill the needs that maybe they should have with the draft or free agency? And you're kind of let down by what they did at any given spot.
Let down by what they did. That is kind of going to depend on Austin Corbett and can he play left tackle? Because, you know, he doesn't have the height and the length that you traditionally see out of left tackles in the NFL. But the Browns think that his hands are really good and that could be the great equalizer for him at that position. And maybe he can get by playing left tackle, you know, in the NFL and actually end up excelling at it because of his hands. And, you know, the feet, of course, are important too, but they just love his hands and they think he has a violent punch and he's very, very physical and he has this nasty side to him. So, you know, I think if he can prove to be the successor to Joe Thomas, he was the first pick of the second round. So, you know, you need that pick to pan out. If he can prove to be that, then I think, you know, you've got to applaud them for that selection. But that, to me, that's a big if right now. Obviously, he's going to be competing with Sean Coleman. When you look at the you know, position battles that are coming up here next week, the OTA starting and then going into the mandatory mini camp next month. And then, of course, training camp. Left tackle is, to me, the most interesting, you know, because, you know, you have Joe Thomas, who we all know how great he was, and you're just not going to be able to adequately fill those shoes. But it is such an important position that you do need somebody to come in there and kind of stabilize it. And I think there are a lot of questions about the guys who are competing for that spot. So Austin Corbett is he's definitely a key guy to watch this offseason.
Nate, I think it's interesting, and we've talked about this just a little bit, not a ton, that it looks like the guys that the Browns brought in with their top draft choices all have these big chips on their shoulder. You know, Baker Mayfield, even though he went on to great success, was a walk-on twice. Good for him. Always been doubted because of his size. Denzel Ward, you could say the same thing. You know, should a corner be taken that high and smaller guy? Corbett was a walk-on, right, at Nevada?
Yeah.
Nick Chubb coming back from a huge injury. Incredible stats, but still, you know, fighting that injury stigma. Do you think that's the type of guy John Dorsey likes? Is he looking attitude there? Is he looking for spunk? Or did it just play out that way?
I think that is part of what he's looking for. Because, let's face it, we always talk about changing the culture. And every regime talks about it. And it hasn't happened because you got to win to do it. But I think the idea and the philosophy is that, you know, some of these guys who have overcome, you know, great obstacles are the right kind of personalities to help all that happen. So I think that has a lot to do with it, you know. And, you know, that Chad Thomas, he had some, the third-round pick, the defensive end, you know, he had some medical issues when he was a kid and couldn't play football for a while, and then he overcame that. So, you know, what you're talking about with guys – you know, conquering adversity, that was a theme in the draft. And in addition to Chad Thomas is another one, in addition to the guys that you mentioned there. Of course, later in the draft, I think you know, John Dorsey took some risks, you know, on some guys with, you know, off-field red flags. And obviously Antonio Callaway, the wide receiver in the fourth round, and Simeon Thomas, the cornerback in the sixth round. But early on, like those first five picks, really the theme was the one you talked about, Jeff.
Nate, appreciate your time today, buddy. Thank you.
Have a good weekend.
All right, you too, guys. Take care.
Nate Ulrich from the Beacon Journal covers the Browns. You can read his work in the Beacon Journal or Ohio.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.